Let's open our Bibles as we start our lesson talking about the name of Jesus. Let's read John 3:16. Let's read that together. Read it out loud. It helps, gets down in your heart. Once the scripture gets down in your heart and it gets lodged down there, it'll guide your affairs in your life. It'll guide your thinking and your direction in life. Let's read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And last lesson I was with you, we were looking at Jesus, the name of Jesus, how he acquired that name. And you can download that lesson, or you can get that lesson for your edification. But let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at this particular scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at starting in verse 17. I'll start in verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, this is Paul writing, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, if I had the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, I could go as far as saying I'm getting revelation in the name of Jesus. Could I not? If I'm getting revelation in the knowledge of him, then I'm getting revelation in the name. And to the degree that that name has strength or power. Amen. And it says, verse 18, and if you'll notice, it has a colon after the word him. That means the thought continues or pertains to what was just said. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What is he talking? He's not talking about your physical eyes. He's talking about your heart. Your heart begins to be enlightened. That what? You may know where? In your heart. What is the hope of his calling? Knowing doesn't just mean intellectual knowing. It means I have a knowing or a revelation in my spirit, in my heart, of what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in who? Me, the saints. Hallelujah. And we also could say we have a revelation of what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To usward who believe. According, now this is what I'm going to slow down here a second. It says here, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in who? Christ. When did he do that? When he raised him from the dead. So you can see here, I'm just going to stop and make a point here. You can notice that his name is mentioned in connection with what? Him being raised from the dead. That's when his name was made great. Hallelujah. So you can see this. This is just one scripture, but there are many scriptures you can see where in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all power, a principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him who? Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see here the name has all the authority, all the power, all the dignity, all the majesty, all the glory that Jesus the person has. You can say Christ, or you can say God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. That means the name is all-powerful. The name is everywhere available to the body of Christ. His body filleth all in all. So his body has access to the name. The name stands for the person. Hallelujah. So Jesus obtained that name by what? His conquest. And let's take a look at that. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2. We can see here that when he was raised from the dead, hallelujah, he spoiled principalities and powers. That's what Colossians 2:15 says. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. This is the King James, triumphing over them in it. In what? The cross. And if you look up that word spoiled, if you take the time to look it up in the Strong's Concordance, that word spoiled means to wholly, wholly, put off from oneself. He put off from himself all of the strength of what the devil had put on him. There's a scripture I'd like to read which helps. Turn to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. You can keep your finger there. I'm going to go back to Colossians, but just go to Romans chapter 4 for a second and look at verse 25. It says, who was delivered for who? For our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Now, that's true. He was raised so that I could be made right with God. But there's a translation. It's called the Young's Literal Translation. Now, listen to this, because this, to me, it's a very accurate translation. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and listen to this, and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. Oh boy. He was raised up because of our being declared righteous. What does that mean? Was it his sin? No, it was our offenses. So that when justice was paid, when God said, sin has been paid for, let him go. This says here, when we were declared righteous, he was let go. See, he went to hell for me. And when sin was paid, God said, that's enough. Sin has been paid for. Sickness has been paid for. And that's when we can go back. When God, see, because when you read that, let me go back there. It's so exciting. When you look at Ephesians chapter 1, it says, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ? He raised him from the dead when we were declared righteous. So it was hit. It was that. That's when you go back to Colossians and it says, verse 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and power. When did he do that? When we were declared righteous. He was chained and taken to hell, and when God said enough, those chains fell off. Those chains fell off at whose doing? God's doing. And so he went over and he spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. Let me read that verse, Colossians 2:15. Let me read that in some other translations. It says, in the Amplified, it says, he disarmed the principalities and powers. The Contemporary English Version says, Christ defeated all powers and forces. The New Living Translation said, he disarmed, he stripped off the spiritual rulers and authorities. The 20th century New Testament says he rid himself of all powers of evil. He rid himself. And why am I saying all of this? Because when you use the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. If there is any demonic influence, it must respond to the name of Jesus. It must. I've had a number of experiences in my Christian walk. I've shared these in Nanuet, that when I have been confronted or been in a situation where there's any kind of demonic influence and God has directed me to use the name of Jesus, the response is immediate. The response is immediate. But you do know that everything is not necessarily demonic influence. It can be somebody just acting ornery and fleshy. You know, understand what I'm saying? Can be operating in the flesh. And if that were the case, if I could use the name of Jesus, then God could override a person's will. And he does not. So we can't just use the name of Jesus and expect that someone will respond if they're just operating in the flesh. Because when Reverend Mary Frances was here years and years ago, she said, if you use the name of Jesus and there's no response, call the police. And I said, yeah, that's about the size of it. Because they're not going to respond to the name of Jesus. It's not demonic. Just bring the police in and escort them out. I mean, that's the truth. Because it's not demonic, it's just, you know, it's just flesh. And so we have to know that, and when I say know that, there has to be a direction from God and his Spirit to reveal to you. And for me, you know, I've shared a few instances where I've had that happen. I shared one instance where my sister was getting married. She's still married to the same man after 30-some years, I thank God. But when I was home at the time, he came into my room. I was reading my Bible at the time, and he wanted to talk. So we did, and we talked for a while. But the more we talked, something didn't sit right down here. As I was speaking with him, I just said, something's off here. And he kept talking about, you know, God speaks to me. That's how we started with me. God speaks to me. And I thought, great, wonderful. So the more we talked, it went from God to my contact. And I said, God's not a contact. God is God. And if he's speaking to me, I say, God's talking to me. And I give him honor for that. So anyways, as we talked, we went from my room to the dining room. And we sat around a table. We were just sharing the word. And it happened so fast, you couldn't think that fast. He jumped up from the table and he was here, right here. He just jumped up and he got right here. And he beat his chest and he said, the devil lives in here. And it happened so quick, you don't have time to think that quick and say, what am I doing? I'll tell you what happened. He jumped up from the table. His eyes were bright red. He was yelling at the top of his lung, and he got right here. And that quick as that happened, that quick, it felt like a coat dropped on me. That quick, and up out of my spirit came these words. It happened so fast, I didn't even have time to think. It just came up. I said, Roberto, and I did. I pointed out, I said, Roberto, I'm not afraid of demons and devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Now you think, well, that was great. I couldn't think that fast. You don't think that fast when somebody gets up here. It just happens. And so when I said that, this is what he did. And he turned and walked away and wouldn't look at me. For 3 days it was in the house. If I walked in a room, he turned and went the other way. Because he knew who I was. That's why I say the name of Jesus, when you use it and you use the blood of Jesus and there's an influence, there must be an immediate response. And there will be. When I was first a Christian years ago, I was going to an Assembly of God church, and they were very active with the Christian Broadcasting Network. And at the time, the local radio station in New Jersey, this was actually in place we went to assemble was in Allendale, New Jersey, right next to Ramsey. And so we would go and we would pray. It was a call-in prayer program. So we would go and man the phones. We had a number of people, and we would pray with people. So this gentleman, one evening, called. And initially, I thought it was a prank call because the person sounded like he was drunk. So drunk, he could hardly talk.
I need prayer.
And I'm thinking, is this a prank call? Because you got prank calls. And instantly, he started talking like me. Clear, sober, just very normal. And I thought, okay, where is this going? Is this a joke or a prank call? And then it switched again back to sounding drunk. And as I'm sitting and listening to this go back and forth, I heard down here, ask him to say the name of Jesus. Now, I'm a new Christian. That's why I say, you can't tell me God don't speak to you, because he does. You just have to recognize who it is. And so that's what I did. I said, sir, can you say the name of Jesus? And this is what he did. He couldn't say it. So I said, okay. Now, I'm a new Christian. I didn't know what to do with what I had. I didn't know the power in the name of Jesus. I'm a brand new baby Christian. I was just hungry to want to help and answer the phone and pray with people. But now you get in a situation, so now I heard the Holy Ghost say, ask him to say the blood of Jesus. And this is what he did. He couldn't say it. Now, I didn't know what to do after that. I'm stuck because I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know about the name of Jesus and demons and all of that. I didn't know. So now the gentleman who was overseeing the prayer team, oh, he knew. And I said, Herb, can you help me over here? I did. And he got on that phone, and within lickety-split, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of this person in Jesus' name. And I said, oh, okay, I got it. I know what to do now. I got it. Yes, sir. And so, you know, I've had a number of instances like that where, you know, there's been influence. I had another time when I was manning those phones, those prayer phones, that this young lady called, and it was really a very sad situation in the natural. She had been in a very, She called for prayer, and so I'm on the phone, and one thing you never do is you don't give out your name and phone number. I mean, that's just a no-no. You don't know who you're talking with. So I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask her where she lives. And I went, no, 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 no. But I knew it was the Holy Spirit. So I did. Come to find out, she lived in the same town I did. Now, I'm a single person. And I'm like, this better be God. And I knew it was. So I did. I started going over. And I started to, you know, we exchanged phone numbers, and I went over. She didn't know where I lived, but she gave me her address and went over and met with her. This person, it was really sad. She when I say in the natural, she had been in a very serious car accident. Her husband was killed. Her children were all, and I say in the natural, messed up from the accident. It took some time to get all through that. And she was on so much medication that she was literally a walking zombie. You'd go and talk with her, you got no expression. It was like you looked in her eyes, it was blank. No expression. You talk with her, she just, it was very flat. And so I started going over there and pray, and I'd stay about an hour and a half, share the word with her. And so forth. And after, and I come to find out in talking with her, I did get this much, that when she was growing up, she was exposed to witchcraft. Her parents were involved in it. She wasn't, but she was exposed to it. And in speaking with her, she said, I see demons. And so I had a little more at this point, I had a little more experience. And so she said, I see demons, I see them in my room. They're harassing me and bothering me. I see them by my bed and so forth and so on. So that went on for a period of time. We prayed about it. I was seeking the Lord what to do. And so after a number of months, I said to the Lord, this is a waste of my time. I'm not going over there anymore. It just really didn't seem to be productive. So I finally... you know, I was just, you know how we do. We just, you know, we fuss at God and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go there and so forth. So as I'm home praying, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to get up and command those demons that are harassing her to leave. Now, my first thought was, I wasn't taught this. I'm thinking, well, I'm not there. I got to be there to do that. And the Lord said, no. Do it from here. There's no distance in the spirit. So I took the Lord's lead, and all I did was get up, nothing, you know, yelling, carrying on. I just got up and said, in the name of Jesus, I command these spirits to leave so-and-so in the name of Jesus. Well, the next week I went and I rang the doorbell. Normally this person would come to the door, and it was just... a blank. It wasn't a smile, nothing. It was just a blank. This person answered the door. My first reaction, did I ring the right doorbell? This person came to the door. Hi, how you doing? And I'm like, who is this? Smiles, effervescent, normal, just like you and I, just upbeat. She said, I've had the greatest week. I feel free. She said, I've stopped all my medication. And I went, really? And so we got to talking. I mean, she was free. And she said, I don't have this oppression anymore. I don't see these demons and so forth and so on. But the long and short was that because she was free, she saw me. And she wanted me to meet her mother. And I said, that's not why I'm here. So I had to cut that cord. I never went back because she started to see something a little different, you know. So I never did go back. My assignment was over. And that's, you know, God was sending me there to help her. And she got her help. But I said all of that to say that when you use the name of Jesus and there's demonic influence, there's a change. I've seen it every time. They got to respond. When it's done and you do it from your heart, I'm not talking about, you know, carrying on, screaming and yelling and all of that. I'm just saying, yes, there's excesses, but I'm saying when it's done, motivated by God's Spirit, those things have to respond. And I will share this because in the society that we live, you can just turn on the television and see all the proliferation of things that are going on. You can, you know, things that we don't even know. People that are, you know, into who are Wiccans and all of this stuff are working in the entertainment business and proliferating ideas and things that get expressed through mediums of television and radio and so forth. So we know that. I'll give you another experience. I'm going to finish this up here because I'm just sharing a few things that I've experienced. One day when I was coming home from work, I took a bus. I was taking a bus from Nanuet to Suffern. So I was waiting for the bus. This was in the old former Nanuet mall. So I was on the upper level, and I said, I'll just window shop while I'm, you know how we do. We just, you know, either buy something, not buy something. So I'm just looking at all the store windows, going in and out and poking around. So I never went into this store. It was right near Sears, and you have these sliding glass doors. As soon as I walked into the store, my spirit went, and I went, what's going on in here? So I walk in, and I'm looking around. It's clothing and stuff. And my spirit is just gnarling, and I'm like, something's not right in here, in this store. And this is what I heard in my spirit. Get out of this store immediately. And I did this. I'm moving. I get out the store. See, now you may think, well, I got the name of Jesus. No, you do. But when God gives you some directions to move, you move. Yes. Because you don't know what you're up against, and you don't know what you're being confronted with. And so I did. And that's why I say it's good to just not be so caught up in natural things, looking and enjoying things, but keep listening on the inside. Listen. If there's people you're around that God has warned you, I remember when I first got born again, the first week, I heard down here, stay away from that girl. I did. The first week I'm born again. I heard down here, I'm at Assembly of God Church, said, stay away from that girl. So I did. And I would purposely move in other circles. And I heard through the grapevine from someone that I was trying to avoid her. And I said, got it. The Holy Ghost knew, you see. So that's what I'm saying. He will warn us. He will share things with us and guide us if we'll listen. And where it comes to the name of Jesus, we've been given that name. And when you see people and you interact with people, I'll share this with you. If you notice individuals that seem to make some advances in Christendom or in their spiritual walk, but then they kind of go back, and then they make a little bit forward, and then they don't really make strong progress. There's an unseen force that's hindering. That's when you use the name of Jesus. Use that name in their behalf. It can be children. It can be a loved one. It can be someone you work with. It could be someone in the church that you see. What does the scripture say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, wickedness. And those unseen forces can fight against people, and some people just yield to that, and they don't make spiritual progress. And sometimes those forces hinder people from making spiritual progress in their lives. And so we're not to wrestle against that. We're not to say, well, yeah, I wonder what's going on with so-and-so and this and that. Use the name of Jesus on their behalf. Come against the forces that hinder someone from growing up in Christ. Because the same wicked spirits that were defeated, where Jesus said, Paul said, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, are the same wicked spirits that talks about in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. They're spoiled. They're disarmed. They're defeated. So we do wrestle against them, but we've already won. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. So let's turn over to John. Let's look at this scripture here for a moment. John chapter 14 and 16. And look at John 14, 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And John 16, verse 23 and 24, it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, or up till now, have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now that word ask, you can look that up. It really means to demand or require. Now we're not demanding anything of God. We're not requiring anything of God. But if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, the meaning of that word ask is to demand something due. Well, what does that mean? It's due because I've been, what? I have an inheritance in Christ, and I'm in him. So I have access. I've been conferred, that name has been conferred to me. So the word ask actually is demand or require. It's not prayer. And this Greek scholar shared years ago with Brother Hagin, he said that the Greek literally says, whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. So we have rights and privileges in Christ. So our rights and privileges we can demand. What does that mean? I demand in the name of Jesus that this desist. I demand that. I demand that this change in the name of Jesus. So I can require or demand, that's what he said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's what John 14 says. Amen. So we can see here, now let's take a look. There's a scripture I want to look at in Acts. Take a look here. Is it Acts 9? No, it's not Acts 9. Where's the... Let me just get over there. I'll look, find it. This is the woman who had the spirit of divination. And that should be Acts 16. Acts 16 and verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters, what? Much gain. By soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did for what? Many days. But Paul, being grieved, and turned and said to who? The Spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Let me read this from the New International Version. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Let me ask this question. Are there a lot of people today, not saying it's not all ungodly, but do we see a proliferation of people who want to predict the future? Yeah, there's a lot of it. And they bring their masters great gain, or themselves, one or the other. I'm not saying it's all wrong, but you need to know what is and what isn't. And it said here, she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. See, when there's a spirit involved, it must respond. It has to be. There has to be. Now, this said here, she was possessed with the spirit of divination. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we can see that the name of Jesus has been given us to use. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. I want us to take a look here for a moment. Mark chapter 16. And here, we've been given and been conferred to that name. It's been given to us to go do something with. Look at Mark 16. It says here, and these signs, starting in verse 17, and these signs, well, let me back up. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's given us a command here to go do something, Jesus is. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And you could say, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. And you could say, in my name they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And in my name shall they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'm going to read this. There's three books that we've made available. The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W. Kenyon, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin, and Jesus, the Name Above All Names by Kenneth W. Hagin. And it would do you good to get those books. They're in the bookstore here, and just feed upon them. But let me read these other translations, because something that E.W. Kenyon wrote in his book, he said, nowhere does Jesus talk about us, the believer, having faith to use the name of Jesus. He just says, use it. What did he say here? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. But I'm going to read that in some other translations. It doesn't mean that we are the ones believing. We are the believing ones. This is the Worrell translation. It says, these signs shall accompany those having believed. That means I have believed, something is available to me. That's why Peter and John could say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, something that he knew he had, give I thee. So it says here, and these signs shall accompany those having believed. In my name will they cast out demons, they will speak with tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. God's Word translation says, these are the miraculous signs that will accompany believers. If I am a believer, that means I have believed. That means I have something available to me. This is a book here, if you're interested. It's a great book by Mark Hankins. These are a listing of all the various different translations that they've assembled in this binder. And Mark 16, this here, it says, this is the New Life translation. It says, these special powerful works will be done by those who have put their trust in me. My name, that in my name, they will put out demons. The New English Bible. Faith will bring with it these miracles. Believers will cast out devils in my name. The Knox translation. Where believers go, these signs shall go with them. The Weymouth translation, making use of my name, they shall expel demons. In the Greek, it says these signs, in the Greek, this is in Mark 16, it said these signs shall accompany the believing ones. So every child of God is a believing one, someone who has believed. And because you are a believing one, these signs will accompany the believing ones. So nowhere in Scripture does it talk about us having to use faith to use the name. It's at God's direction we use it, and we are the believing ones. And that's what he says in Mark 16. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe, or these signs shall follow the believing ones. In my name, Jesus is speaking here, in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall do this. It never talks about us having to have faith to use the name. See, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So my faith rises. I had to hear the word to have faith in Christ, you see. But once I do, there's no need to have faith to use the name of Jesus. It's not your power. Remember, all power is in the name of Jesus. So when I come into a situation, here's the scripture verse in 2 Corinthians 6:1. It says, we then as workers together with him, we're working with him. It's not my power. I can feel as weak or as inadequate as can be. He's all powerful. His name is above every name. So when I use that name, all the power of the Godhead is released into that situation. So he's doing the work, not me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at one last scripture here. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And let's look at verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. That word, a salvation, means deliverance, preservation, safety. So there's no other, neither is there, as this we can insert here, deliverance, preservation, safety, in any other name. So that name is above every name. And if you look at the word saved, where it says here, whereby we must be saved, that word it also means to be healed, delivered, and set free. That word saved. So there's no other name given among men. It says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved or delivered, healed, set free, is the name of Jesus. As you find yourself, and we're all going to find ourselves in situations in life where we're confronted with things, Brother Hagin, when he was alive, used to say this: we need to be more God inside minded. What does that mean? Don't be so minded about things that are going around you that you ignore the prompts and things that God is leading you down on the inside. Be more sensitive down there. And the more that you create a climate in your life to hear him, you'll be directed to not be defeated with things, not take one step forward and 10 back. The devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And I believe that we have access to the name of Jesus. And every situation that I've been in that's confronted me, every time I've used the name of Jesus, things change. And so when we, even in this area, whether it's down in New York or up in this area, one of the things that I realize is that when you look at areas that people live in, there are unseen forces that control these areas. What does the scripture say? He's the God of this world. So he has control over certain areas. And one of the things that I shared this the last time I was up here, that sometimes you feel like in the natural, like you're pushing to make progress, and you're struggling against something to make progress. That's an unseen force that's trying to hold back, cloud your thinking as far as exactly what to do, what choices to make. You need to think about that and not get frustrated, because that frustration is exactly what it's meant to do, is to frustrate your thinking so that you don't have clarity of your thinking. And just the same way, when you come into an area where there's a lack of, or an apparent lack of, interest in God, then you need to take stock of that and think about, why is that? You're coming into an area where those unseen forces have exerted some pressure on people to think, I don't need God, what do I need him for? I'm doing all right. You know, life is good. Or you can go into an area in some inner cities where the despondency is so strong, people just go, there's no use, I just give up. And that pressure that is exerted, people begin to think that. They begin to talk it. And you go into some areas and they'll talk negative. They'll talk poor. They'll talk, you know, because of my ethnicity, I can't get anywhere. And I'm not saying that that's not true, but we've got to peel back and look at what is motivating that. And when we change it, when the darkness gets pushed back and people can begin to think clear and see clear, and again, demonic forces will operate through people, not just the ones that are stuck, but the ones that might be making the laws that make it hard for people to live. So it's everything. You know, people are fighting against people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So unseen forces, demonic forces, will try to operate through the government, will try to operate through those that make laws, and will then also make people feel that are subject to the laws feel some kind of way and hate the other people. you see. But it's all demonic. And we as the church, that's why I feel sometimes some kind of way when the church wants to get involved in all of these social things and fuss about it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with getting involved, but why are we bickering amongst ourselves when we've got the name of Jesus? We know who our adversary is. Let's go after that dude. Let's stop fighting amongst ourselves. Let's go after the one that's creating the problems for everybody and use the name of Jesus. Because I tell you, when I was out in Tulsa recently, the atmosphere was so different that when I left this New York City area and flew out of that area and flew into Tulsa, it was like, the best way I could explain it is, it wasn't foggy. I'm talking about spiritually. I could see clearly things spiritually. And I said, I'm not dreaming this. And I've experienced it a number of times, but this last time was really just, it was strong. And I said, this is interesting. And in speaking with one of the directors that's over in China, he shared with me he's been in four countries. He's been in Haiti. He's been in Thailand. He's been in I think he said Malaysia, which is that general area. I forget the other country, the third country. Now he's in China. He's based in Hong Kong and goes in and out of China. And he told me, he said, the demon forces that I faced in those other three countries are nothing compared to what I'm faced with in China. He said, it's 100 times stronger. And I said, really? He said, yep. He said, you're constantly fighting against almost what I would call like a fog. He said, you're fighting it all the time to wrestle against this, to make you not see clear. And I thought about it. I said, well, if it's foggy and you're going down the road, I said, number one, you don't drive as fast. Number two, you're apprehensive. You're not sure if you're on the road or off the road. You're not sure if you're going to hit somebody. And I said, but when you can see, it's like, man, pedal to the floor. I can see. We're going. See, and I said, that's what the devil does. He wants to make things real cloudy for you so you can't, okay, I don't know, where are we going? What are we doing in life? And so whenever we find ourselves like that, we need to recognize who our adversary is and that sometimes we're making spiritual advances and he don't want us to. And he's trying to make it hard for us, we need to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to back off. Worship God more. Spend more time with him. And that'll clear up. So I share that because I know this particular area, God said that darkness has held sway in this area for a long time. And he said, come up here. He said, if you just come here and worship, I'll push it back. And sometimes we're wrestling against things that have been entrenched in this area for a long time. And we need to wrestle and praise God, lift him up, and use the name. And it'll change. It'll change. Amen. And I'll say this, the devil doesn't want us to know the power that's in that name. He doesn't want us to use it. He wants us to stay frustrated. And every time that I've been confronted in life with situations where I know there's demonic influence, when I used the name, it changed. It backed off. It moved out. And I said, when we have forces that have gripped an area, you've got to come, you've got to pray in the Spirit, you've got to begin to worship God. You've got to use the name. of Jesus, because he will respond to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm finished. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. And we thank you for the name of Jesus and the power that's in that name. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Father, we thank you that as we use the name of Jesus, as we go forth, we thank you that the devil will back off. And the territories that have been held sway will be broken in this area, in the name of Jesus. We thank you with even where those who may be sick or infirmed, when we lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, there must be a change. The body has to change. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, just before we leave, just in case there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, let's just say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you are God and that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. And we thank you that on the third day, when justice was paid and we were declared righteous, that you raised Jesus from the dead. And we thank you. Now, Jesus, I believe that you took my sins, and I ask you to become my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name I receive you. Amen. If anybody prayed that simple prayer and never done that before, we just ask you to raise your hand, acknowledge that you received Jesus as your Savior, and amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I hope that there's some things, maybe this has piqued your thinking, your interest, that in your life, when you come up against obstacles in your life, use the name of Jesus. Something that looks like it can't change, whether it's financial, whether it's family, physical, on your job, you know, you may say, well, that person acts like Henri. Use the name of Jesus. You know, I remember years ago, I was quick to use the name, quick to pray. I remember years ago, I had relatives. They were in a real tough bind. They were living in what I would consider some very squalor conditions. They were really tough. And having some issues. And so I went to visit them. And they didn't want to hear about Jesus. They just want to talk about the problem and what kind of help I can get. So I started talking about Jesus, and they said, can we change the subject? I don't want to hear about that. And I said, sure, no problem. So we'll talk about your problem then. Seems like you don't have an answer, but we'll talk about it. So I didn't see him for a couple of weeks, and the Lord directed me, said, I want you to take authority over those spirits that are hindering them from wanting to listen. And so I did. I used the name of Jesus, and I went back 2 weeks later, and all they kept saying was, tell me more, tell me more, talk to me, tell me, talk to me about Jesus. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't get ornery with people. Don't get frustrated with people. When you find yourself being frustrated, just, that's fine. Use the name of Jesus. Because that name will arrest the influence. People really do want to have help. But their adversary tells them otherwise. You don't want that. That's foolishness. But when that influence is taken away, their hearts are open. And I've seen it all the time. So, praise God. Amen. Amen. Especially today, you know, when we have, I'm thinking of, you know, the universities and, you know, places of higher education. You're always wrestling against the soul, the intellectual, and people trying to intellectualize God. And God has to be received in your heart, not your head. And the devil fights through that. Nothing wrong with education. I think it's wonderful. I have an education, been to college, but at the end of the day, your intellectual area will help you in life, but it's not going to fight against the unseen forces. It ain't going to work. You will become frustrated. And I'm not saying that we don't get involved in social things and activities and get involved, even if God is leading you to get involved in government affairs and politics. I think those are wonderful calls, if you're a policeman or whatever. But I tell you, at the end of the day, if you don't depend on Him, you're going to be one frustrated individual. Because you think you're going to try to handle everything in the natural. You get some things solved. Not saying you won't. You'll get some things solved. But then something will twist, and then you'll be right back at square one again. You got to go after the God of this world and go after those influences that are influencing people, that make laws, influencing people. And it'll change in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.